Good morning and thank you for joining with us. As we bring another word, we do especially give a word of welcome to those associated with Ocalee Free Presbyterian Church. Thank you for tuning in this morning. We trust the Lord will bless you in your own soul, that he will meet the need of you and your family today and in the coming days. We would remind you all that we will have another message up, God willing, for this evening for 6:30. We encourage you to come and to listen. And if you have some unsaved family that you can get along as well, that would be a good thing, because, of course, it will be a gospel message. Just one or two things to say to those who listen. We want to say that we hope the volume is a little bit better than it has been, one or two people. And we're thankful to you for drawing it to my attention that there's a problem with the volume. We have tried to look at that, but we're not sure whether the problem is fixed yet or not. But we trust it's not too bad for you today, and you can hear what we're saying. The other thing is that, and this is very important for us as a congregation, on Wednesday evening, our prayer meeting will be held in the church building. We will be meeting there at 8 o'clock. I will bring a short word to you, and then we will pray, and we leave around about 9 o'clock or so. We're not stuck to any particular time, but we will finish around about 9 o'clock or so. We encourage as many as possible of the congregation to come along and pray with us. We are upholding each other. We've been doing that a lot now for a year of this pandemic. And I certainly thank you for all your prayers for me and for my family. And we do trust that the Lord will bless us together as we come together again on Wednesday evening. Then, as you are probably aware, from Monday, from tomorrow, our churches are opened again. Presbytery have decided that there would be a graduated return to worship. At the moment, we are able to meet once during the week. That would be our prayer meeting. And then on a Sunday. Now, you may have seen the notice up on Facebook. I'm not sure. But it intimates there that the going back into our churches will be from early March. I know that there are one or two, at least that I know of, who are going back on the 14th of March. But many, probably most, will be going back next Sunday. And that is what we are doing. We will have our morning meeting at 11:30. And we really encourage you all to come along and enjoy the worship, worshiping together and actually talking together. And it is good for us spiritually as well. But it is good to us mentally, I should say, as well as spiritually. And we encourage as many of the congregation as possible to come along. Now, as a session, we have decided that for the first two or three Sundays, we will be having Sunday morning services only. We do not want to take any risks at all, and we can assure you that we will have done a risk assessment before next Sunday again, and we do not want anyone getting sick because of our behaviour at church. We have done very well as a congregation so far from way back a year ago, and we don't want that to end now. So that is the reason why we will be, for the next two or three Sundays, meeting on Sunday morning only. But do please remember that I will have, for the Sunday evenings, up a Facebook message, and it will be going in sermon audio as well. But we're looking forward to getting back to Sunday worship. But even before that, we're looking forward to Wednesday evening. We do thank you again for all of your prayers for me as I prepare the messages, and as we have sought to pray through. You're very welcome today. And if you're nothing to do with us, the congregation, maybe you're not a Free Presbyterian, thank you for listening. And I trust that what we say will be of benefit to you, and that the Lord will use it in your own particular circumstances to help you today. Now, we're going to read a portion of God's word, and then we will pray, and then we will bring a message to you. I'm going to try to keep everything to under 35 minutes, because when we go over that, there is sometimes a little difficulty in getting the whole lot to upload. So we'll read. I would like you to turn, please, to 2 Peter and chapter 2 in your Bible. And just while you're turning there, I want to say to the congregation, if you were able to get along to any of the prayer times yesterday, I'm sure you enjoyed them. Very beneficial for us. And you may... I'm sure you heard what the Reverend Murray said in the afternoon meeting as he was preaching, that we're lifting up our eyes and we're looking to the Lord ultimately to drive this pandemic out of our country in his time. We've no doubt that the Lord is in control, and we're continually looking to him. So we're going to read this morning in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. I was aware as today was coming round that this might be the last Sunday morning worship service that I would be recording on Facebook for a while, I hope, and that we're not put out of our, don't have to go out of our churches for health reasons again. But that being the case, I want you young people to know that I think about you every day, and we know that these have been very strange times for you regarding your university life or your high school life or your work life, and we do pray for you very much, and we trust that the Lord will strengthen you and sustain you. And I have prepared this morning's message not exclusively for young people, but certainly with you in mind. So we're reading in 2 Peter chapter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Amen. We'll end the reading there, and we look to the Lord together in prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank thee for the return of the Lord's day. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to share fellowship in this way. Thank you, Lord, that even in this time of unprecedented crisis as far as health is concerned in the whole nation, thank you, Lord, that you have provided us with a way of communication. Thank you for what you've enabled our congregations to do. And Lord, we do pray for all who are listening this morning and those who will listen later in sermon audio. May the Lord be pleased to draw alongside and to use his word, bless his own people. We pray, Lord, that you would, Lord, that it might be that deepening of our faith, that deeper work of grace in our lives, that there might be that closer walk with God. And Lord, for every family and every particular need, we know that there is still considerable anxiety all around us and uncertainty too. But Lord, we pray that God would continue to give direction, that you would give guidance to those in high places, those, Lord, that are the decision makers. And Lord, for us as congregations and for thy people in general, may we continually look to him who loved us and gave himself for us. To that end, we pray that what we say this morning now might be of help to all who listen. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I once either heard it said or I read it that the word freedom has an awful lot to answer for. And as many of you are aware, all around us in the world today, it seems that almost every government and every movement that you hear about, it is in some way connected to or stemming from what people will call freedom. Whether it is some kind of legislation or whether it is simply open rebellion, people refer to it as freedom. So what really is freedom? Good question for us to ask ourselves this morning. What would we do with freedom if we had real freedom? The Lord Jesus had something that was very worth noting to say in John's Gospel and chapter 8, John's Gospel 8 and down there in verse 30. And I will read the words quite quickly. And you can look at it at home in John 8 and verse 30. And he spake these words. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. The people who the Lord was speaking to, many of them at this time, it is very clear that they did not understand what real freedom was. They had actually, they were at that time under the heel of the Romans, and they were speaking to the Lord and speaking of their background. And like so many people today, as far as they were concerned, freedom was something that they either inherited or that was brought about or achieved by themselves. But folks, today, you and I can enjoy real freedom. And as the Lord Jesus said there in John chapter 8, real freedom comes through a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The word freedom, that someone said, means the privilege and power to become all that God wants you to be. I hope you heard that, young person. The privilege and power to come up to become all that God wants you to be. They also said the opportunity to fulfill your potential to the glory of God. And whether you're young or not this morning, you are unique. And God wants to use you as the person that you are. And he has a niche for you. But you know, whenever Christian writers were penning the words of the Bible, they very often had to warn God's people in their day. And the Holy Spirit recorded these things for our warning as well. There's such a thing as false teachers who seek to draw people after what we look upon as false freedom. Now, Peter describes this false freedom in this chapter. If you look there in verse 17, that is of 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, referring to false teachers, he says, verse 17, these are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those who are clean escape from them who live in error. You notice there in verse 18, the word wantonness, it literally means lasciviousness, which naturally means, as you know, perhaps the absence of restraint or no withholding of access. The prominent idea behind the word wantonness there is shameful conduct. And that's a kind of teachers that the Apostle Peter, he was warning the people about. And I want to talk to you just for a short time this morning about freedom. But I want to talk to you, the title is Caught Out by Freedom. Caught Out by Freedom. Yes, the world cries for freedom. But I want to look at something with you very, very carefully, younger person and older person too. And we thank you for listening and trust that what we say will help you. We're looking here at this freedom that catches people out. I want you to notice, first of all, its root. Well, the root of false freedom is false teachers. And Peter here is showing us something which we all know to be the case, that where you find the truth, and again, young people, as you go out into the world and you try to make a way for yourself, and maybe sometimes you're bewildered and you don't know what it's all about, and there'll probably be many times like that, as you try to make a way for yourself, you will find out that where there is the truth, there is always the counterfeit. In any country in this world, you take, for instance, art, where there are some great works of art, some of the greatest paintings of all time that are in the possession of people today, they have had their counterfeits. And some of those counterfeits are exceptionally good. And they would catch out people like me and probably you as well. They are so good. And so it is regarding these false teachers. Peter identified them accurately there in verse 1 when he said, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. As it goes on to say, who shall bring in damnable heresies. This is always very, very damaging for the work of God and the Church of Christ on earth. But they're very proficient. In fact, you could go as far as to say, in what they do, they are exceptionally good. Exceptionally good at being false teachers. It's not an honorable profession, but I'm afraid to say that it is a fact of life. And some characteristics of them can be found here in these verses. You can read about verse 10 and so on there yourself. In fact, throughout 2 Peter, they're described really as pernicious. Even described as that which is unclean, even as that which is wicked. They are deceived, but make no mistake, they are arch deceivers. They are great deceivers. And what a tragic picture there is concerning them. Look at verse 3. It says, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words. The word feigned there, you see it in verse 3, is the word from which we get the English word plastic. And what you're really looking at here is people with plastic words, meaning that they will take that which is truth and they will twist it. Now you take something that is brass or iron, you and I will not twist it if it's solid. But if it's plastic, you can twist it about, it's pliable. And that is what they do. Twisted words. And they take the word itself and they twist it. It says there they make merchandise of you. That shows their cruelty. Again, young person, we want the best for you. We don't want anyone to use you or abuse you or to shortchange you in life. We do not want anyone to make merchandise of you. It's a cruel thing, but it is something, again, which was very real. They're cruel here in that they made merchandise, but they're charming. That's where a lot of the problem lies. And people fall for their lives. But more than that, if you look over through the word, you will see that there's great evidence of how successful they be at times. Over in the book of Titus, and chapter 1, verse 9, it says, Titus 1, verse 9, holding fast a faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. These are words that are associated with the office of a bishop or an elder, whether it is a teaching elder or a ruling elder. They're very, very important. An elder there in verse 7 is not to be someone who is self-willed. That's important. But a lover of good men, that's very important as well. Verse 10, it says, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, Grecians are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. These are strong words. And you and I, we try to be pleasant to people the best we can, but we must never err from truth. And we would always want to be faithful to you in what we say. So when you're looking at those, what is at the root of these false beliefs and this false freedom that is taught? Well, there are the false teachers. They are cruel. They are charming. They're very many times they are successful. Just back there in Paul's first letter to Timothy and chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Again, those are strong words, but they're very appropriate considering the theme this morning. So they are cruel, they're charming, they're very successful. And folks, they're very, very subtle. They're very subtle. I turn you to one passage. It's the book of Jude. And if you look there, you know that the book of Jude, it's just a few verses. It deals with apostasy and apostates. It says there in verse 4 of Jude, "For there are certain men crept in unawares." Folks, you couldn't be careful enough. And when it comes to our denomination, for instance, and the need of ministers, or to our congregations and the need of elders, or deacons for that matter. Did you see what it says there? There are certain men crept in unawares. Ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, you and I would want to always be vigilant, remembering this, folks, that while we are to pray, we are also to watch. And I just want to notice to everyone, or draw to the attention of everyone this morning. We're looking here at being caught out by freedom. We're asking the question, or we're looking, I should say, at the root of this freedom. At the root of this freedom, there are false teachers. And young person, wherever you go in this world, seek out godly friends. Do not get caught up in anything where there is compromise. You don't have to be the most popular person in the world. But seek out for yourself sound Christian friends. And when you go to worship, make sure you go to worship somewhere where there is a sound, converted, saved minister and overseeing. The root of this freedom, which isn't freedom at all, there are men. That's what the Bible shows us. False teachers, they're very crafty, very charming, and very well accepted far too often. But there's not just the root here, there is the reasoning here of these false teachers. Now, it would be futile for me to offer you anything. It would be futile to try to win people, I should say, if we didn't have something to offer. So these false teachers, they have something to offer. What do they offer? They offer exactly what it seems the vast majority of men and women want today, because they offer freedom without responsibility. Freedom without responsibility. Look again at verse 1. You can read it there yourself. I'll leave that to you to read the first verse there. And freedom without responsibility is something which really is not part of any Christian's life. In fact, it's not part of anyone's life. Because you cannot have freedom without responsibility. And that, therefore, there ought to be self-control. See, young person, if anyone says to you, "Oh, come to our meetings, they're not as tight, and we're, there's this and that and the other, and there's so much more freedom," you want to look very carefully at that freedom before you have anything to do with it. And you want to ask this question: do I really want freedom where there's no responsibility? I know that to many a young Christian, words like this, "Oh, you're in a straitjacket," or "those old fogies in your church," they have you brainwashed into believing that you have to live like that nowadays. Well, I've already said today, we want what's best for you. And for those of us who are older as well, we want to make sure that we are associated with that which, yes, the Lord gives us freedom. Freedom is in Christ. "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." But then comes along that persuasive false teacher, or the one who gives a false impression, and come along and say, "Well, you can have freedom, but that does not mean that you are responsible. In other words, you can do exactly as you please." Well, you can't do exactly as you like. Because you and I, whenever we get saved, we want to live in obedience to God's word. And I have on numerous occasions said to my own heart and to those I've been speaking to that we're in a battle, and we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and as long as we live on earth, there'll be a battle with the flesh, the world, and the devil. And one of the big problems today is that this seducing voice is drawing many away from the responsibility of adhering to the word of God. If anyone offers you, Christian person, they say, yes, you can have freedom, but you will not have responsibility. Oh, when you'll have liberty, but you'll be able to really live as you like. You want to avoid it like the plague. False teachers offer freedom without responsibility, but they offer freedom without accountability. See what it says there in verse 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. Why? Well, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now, they might not do it openly, but you and I are to stick to the old paths. That's what the Bible teaches. That does not mean we never smile, that we never be involved in sport, or we never have a great time of fun and fellowship together. Far from it. But we follow the teaching of the word, and we hold fast to the teaching of the word. Paul had some important words there to say in the book of Romans. They're certainly worth sharing with you. I'm over in Romans chapter 5. You can take note of that and read it at home yourself. Romans chapter 5 and verse 20. I write down into Romans chapter 6, just four verses. Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Christian person, you and I are saved from sin. And therefore, there is no such thing as freedom without responsibility, or freedom without accountability, or freedom without limits. Surely that is what the cry is for today. Freedom without limit. Man is, as every month goes by, as far as I can see, more and more he's getting to that point where he is ready to say, there is no such thing as sin. What is your sin is another man's joy, and that is an abomination. You and I, who are saved, again, young person, if you're saved, remember the potential you might have for the Lord. You, as a unique young man or young woman, you don't want to change to be like anybody else, but you, as a unique person, there's a niche for you in living for the Lord. The Lord can make a way for you, and you can enjoy this freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking here, we give the title to the message, Caught Out by Freedom. Yes, freedom, it appeals, and I want to say something which is very solemn, and that is that many young Christians, brought up in Christian homes and saved when they're young, and associated with Christian fellowships, many of them have been lured away after this freedom. And they're making shipwreck. Because they've latched on to something that says, yes, you're a Christian, but forget about that responsibility that you were thinking about, or that accountability, or that limit. Just do as they did in the book of Judges. Really, this is what they're saying. Do that which is right in your own eyes. And young people and older people, that is the way to disaster. That type of freedom is a freedom that will bring you down. A freedom that will bring you into far more bondage than you ever imagined. Remember, if the Son therefore shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. And then we have a responsibility to walk in accordance with the word of God, to continue in the doctrine of the word of God, to fellowship with God's people, to seek God's days, to look into his word with a view to obeying it. I know that many, many young people do. But isn't there a voice that is always calling, maybe calling to someone who's listening to me today? And the voice is saying, yes, you are a Christian, but here's a different kind of freedom. Here's freedom, and you live on your terms. The Bible tells us that we're not our own. were bought with a price. That does not mean that you have to live a life of misery. Far from it. But it means the Lord bought us with his blood. And our responsibility is to glorify him. To glorify him. And again, you can do that wherever the Lord in his good providence has placed you. We've noticed the root of this false freedom. It is men or women, false teachers. Then the reasoning of these false teachers is no responsibility, no accountability, and no limits. But I want you to notice, finally, the result of this false freedom. It brings us into awful bondage. Just look at verse in 2 Peter chapter 2 again, please. And it's verse 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. It says, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. You might read a verse or two after that as well in your own time. People, do not become entangled with that which is unscriptural. Samson was a great man, and he was greatly used of the Lord. But he had responsibility, and he had accountability, and he had limit. And it was the sweet voice of what was probably a beautiful young woman that was his downfall. Now, he can't blame all of the problem on her, because he had the responsibility to avoid her. He had the accountability. He knew what he should and he should not do. And she found out the secret of his strength. She was his downfall. And the Bible tells us in the book of Judges that Samson got up and had cut his hair off, which was the reason why the Lord had given him strength. That was when the hair was cut off his hand, then he would not be strong anymore. He got up and he went out as at other times, and it says that he wist not. You can read it in the book of Judges. He wist not, or he knew not, the Lord was departed from him. Samson was still a child of God. We know that in his last moments, God strengthened him again, and he died along with so many Philistines and brought glory to the Lord then. But in between, he lost out. He lost out, and he was so blinded by this freedom that he had, that he didn't even know. He didn't know that the Lord's presence wasn't with him anymore. Read Judges chapter 16 and verse 20. And folks, the result of this false freedom means the result is a downward spiral. Again, young person, we love you in the Lord. If I can be of any help to you, do not be afraid to be in contact with me. People who love you, whether it is your mother, your father, or someone else, they will help you. And believe it or not, they have more of life's experience than you, and they know what false freedom is. And this is a freedom that really is not a freedom at all. These false teachers, as verse 1 and verse 9 indicates to us, they will answer to the Lord. Every one of us is Christian. We too will give account of ourselves unto God. And you and I, not be long, hopefully, to we're back in our churches again, and we're not on Facebook, and hopefully all the different parts of life will be opening up again, and hopefully in the not too distant future we'll be back to more or less normality. There will be many calls upon you. You who have found true freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've proved that he whom hath the Son, who whom the Son sets free, is free indeed. You've proved that. But there's another offer. And it's false freedom. It's well preached about here in the Word of God. In the last days, many shall depart from the faith. Dangerous days, times of great challenge for young believers. And I trust that all of us, whatever age we are, that we will stick by the Word of God, that we will thank God every day for the true freedom that we have in Christ. But we will not be those who are caught out by this false freedom. So we need to look out for false teachers. I trust the Lord will use these thoughts of mine to strengthen you, encourage you, and to help you in the days ahead. May the Lord bless all of you and bless you in the days to come.